Chapter 19. Senator Tolwar Wartol's yacht is a Ganoidian tri-deck cruiser. Spare in its design, it is far from a luxury craft. Everything is hard angles and flat surfaces. The front end of the ship looks like a set of steps. Most of the vessel is boxy in some parts, knife-like in others. Presently, it sits docked at the Senate hangar. It is one of the last ships remaining, the rest already having gone to Nakadiya, where the Senate will now convene. The cruiser's engines are cycling, and harbor crew perform all the proper cross-checks. A droid disconnects a fueling hose from the tailport. Wartol does not expect her, and so it is the perfect time to strike. Before the ramp can be raised, Mon Mothma marches forward. A diligent woman of purpose, flanked by two plume-helmeted guards, and storms right on board the ship. Wartol's own guards, all Orishin, attempt to stand in her way, crossing pikes in front of her. She sneers at them, undaunted. "Do you think that's wise? One suspects the senator will be disappointed to learn that his guards cost him a measure of popularity because they turned the chancellor of the new republic away through the threat of violence." Frankly, she suspects that at this point, turning her away might earn him a bump in popularity. But the bluff works. Their nose slits twitch and pucker as they pull their pikes away. She steps aboard. Wartol stands nearby in a sitting area, and it gives her a bit of joy to find him startled by her presence. He quickly turns away from the viewport, like a naughty child caught spying on a neighbor. He regains his composure a moment later, and the victory is small, but right now Mon Mothma takes whatever edge she can get.
"Chancellor," he says.
His voice is a booming drum in the well of his chest. It has a rich vibrato to it, a doomed music.
"Apologies, I was lost in thought, and I did not expect you."
"Odd, given that I've been trying to pin you to a meeting for the last week."
She smiles stiffly.
"Things, as you know, have been rather busy."
"You're not busy now. I will join you on your trip to Nakadiya. We can enjoy the journey together, Senator. Does that sound all right?"
"Do I have a choice?"
Her icy smile is unswerving.
"Not an easy one."
With a gesture of his long-fingered hand, his own guards disappear from the room. She dismisses her own protectors accordingly. The sitting room is spare. Everything is as boxy inside the ship as it is outside. The chairs are hard enamel. The viewports are tall and topped with telescoping steel shutters. The floor is cold. The room contains no fabric, no softness, nothing to endear you to it. It is as unwelcoming as a brick. Like Wartol, in a way. Still, she sits when he offers her a chair. It isn't comfortable, exactly, but she admits that the rigidity of it suits her. Wartol takes his seat across from her. He lifts a bowl off a nearby table as he hands it to her. Hard, osseous little sockets rattle around inside it. They look like knuckle bones. In each is a bit of yellow flesh, dried and dusted. It's food, she thinks.
"Nectards," he says. "Little pod creatures that form on the sides of our ships, filtering in whatever microfauna they can eat. They survive the vacuum of space. They're quite tough, but you marinate them and roast them slowly over low heat, and they become a snack."
Mon has politely eaten the food of countless species. Decorum demands it, and she does not disappoint here either. She takes one of the bony bits and turns it over in her hand again and again. He instructs her to place it to her lips and suck the meat out of its center, which she does. She expects it to taste, well, bad, fishy or mealy or fungal. But it is oddly refreshing. A citrus tang and salty wave hit her tongue.
he eats one too.
Wartol does not look at his food as he eats, though. The X-shaped irises of his deep-set eyes stare at Mon, as if dissecting her. The corneas drift and pulse. It's almost hypnotizing. His regal, deep voice and his kaleidoscopic eyes give her a sense of why he's so popular. That, and he carries the invisible mantle of leadership. It fits him well.
He could win this thing, you know. What would you do if he did? Where would you go? What role would you serve, Mon?
Outside, the clang of the fueling hose, decoupled from the ship, jars her from her poisonous thoughts. The engines hum to life, and the ship begins to lift.
I cannot imagine this is a pleasure visit, Wartol says.
It is not.
It's certainly unorthodox.
I don't think so. Is it strange for a chancellor to want to speak to one of her senators?
A senator who opposes her in the election, you mean?
She smiles.
Surely, despite the election, we have shared interests. We both want the best for the galaxy, do we not?
The Orishan's lower jaw splits, and his tapered pink tongue licks along the serrated teeth on each side.
There's no audience here, Chancellor. We're not in the Senate House. Jettison this masquerade and speak plainly. What is it you want, and why are you here?
The resolution to attack the Empire's fleet on Jakku.
The one that failed, you mean?
The vote failed to pass by 5 votes. Just 5.
He discards an empty nektod shell into the bowl. The ship shudders as it enters atmosphere, and soon thereafter all of space and time seem to slide out from under them as the ship launches into hyperspace. Wartol shrugs.
That's how it happens sometimes, as you know. Votes fail. Sometimes by 1, sometimes by 1,000. Not that the Senate is that big yet to have 1,000 votes, but it will be. When I am Chancellor, new worlds will return to us.
As you say, there's no audience here. So you don't need to sell me on your candidacy. I want to talk about those 5 senators. Senators Ashmeen Ek, Rethalo, Dor Waido, Gwelka Sorka, and Nimtar. 5 senators, all of whom have voted with you in the past. 5 senators who have worked with you across various councils and caucuses. And yet, while you voted for intervention with the Empire, they did not.
He frowns.
They are not automatons.
No, but they do take their cues from you.
They did not this time, it seems.
And yet, you have not gone out of your way to convince them. The revote is tomorrow.
She's fortunate. Present rules allow for her to plead her case anew, further allowing for a revote. That is due to the fact that the margin of failure was particularly narrow. Under 10 votes separating the outcomes allows for the mechanism of a revote to trigger automatically. After this, no such mechanism will save her. No such revote will come into play, which means she needs to nullify those 5 votes.
Why would you stand in the way of the progress you so desire, exactly? Why not chase it down? You have sway with these senators. Use it.
As you note, I voted for your resolution, Chancellor. I want this over with as much as you do. The Empire must fall.
So, I ask for your help to convince those senators,
Mon says.
Help you? Liberation Day really did rattle your head, didn't it?
She leans forward.
And here I thought you said you wanted this over with as much as I do. Apparently not. You're quite the politician. Happy to cast away your principles in favor of a victory.
If you say so.
Let me paint a picture,
she begins coldly.
You know that my resolution failing to pass is a mark against me. It reflects a failure of leadership on my part. And so you convince 5 senators to vote against the resolution while you protect yourself by voting in favor of it. That way, I cannot easily call you out, lest I look conspiratorial.
Conspiratorial indeed.
You've laid your principles on an altar and sacrificed them.
Now Wartol brings the heat to his voice. His jaw bisects, and his tongue ripples.
You do not get to speak to me about sacrifice, Chancellor. Orish knows sacrifice. Orish knows what it is to poison ourselves so that the Empire may not consume us and our world. What do you know of it? The Empire never quite made its way to Chandrilla, did it?
Yes, but I made my way to the Empire. I fought them. I lost people.
But you didn't lose your world. You had the privilege of pursuing this fight. My people had no such privilege. The fight came to us. They enslaved us. I watched them shackle us and beat us and begin strip mining our world, pilfering its resources. Our place, our people, all held under the Empire's thumb. Until we found a way to wriggle free.
And I would never dismiss the perseverance of your people.
Dismiss it? No. You'd simply squander it. You don't know what it takes. I and the other Orishin are masters of sacrifice. We know its value. We know how to wield it.
Is that what this is, then? Sacrifice?
Mon asks.
You will throw our war efforts away for your own conquest of the New Republic? The sacrifice of oneself can be noble, Senator, but the sacrifice of the safety of a whole galaxy? That is an attack on us all, and I cannot abide it.
He stands up, looming over her. She tries not to show that she feels the threat of his presence. He could crush her quite easily. She could be dead, jettisoned into space, and that would be that.
You don't get to tell me that. You don't have the right. Perhaps the truth of a thing is that I feel a republic with you at its helm is the greatest concern.
He seethes.
You are weak. Your leadership is spineless and indulgent. Liberation Day shows the truth of that.
You did do it. You sabotaged the vote.
Wartol does not sit back down, so much as he falls backward against the chair. He looks away from her as he says, almost dismissively,
I admit to nothing. I will not give life to your conspiratorial fancies.
Then let me try a new conspiracy.
She opens her hand and lets a small device clatter across it. The device has a pinhole mic at its top, and from its bottom, a squid tangle of severed wires. He barely glances at it.
What is that?
You know what it is. It is a listening device. A bug.
So you say?
You planted it.
That is a heady accusation. I assume it comes with proof.
He waves her off, his hand then closing into a fist.
Oh, no, it doesn't. Just another baseless allegation from the besieged Mon Mothma.
You knew. You knew that the Empire was at Jakku. You knew that 2 of our own were going to take the Millennium Falcon to that world. And you stopped them. Oh, the guards wouldn't admit it was you, and they tried to claim it was me who stopped the Falcon. But they listened to you. You have authority. You have your little feelers everywhere, don't you?
You can prove none of that.
That is correct. I cannot. So I'll have to do it the old-fashioned way. By beating you to a bloody pulp.
Her eyes flash with mischief.
In the election, I mean.
Good luck with that, Chancellor. Your precious re-vote is in the morning. Less than 12 hours away. We land soon. I hope you scramble the votes you need, but time is ever dwindling.
She smiles. If only there was some way to delay the vote.
You should be so lucky.
The ship jolts as it comes out of hyperspace. Outside the viewport, the blue lines shorten to pinpricks, and once more they're in the deep well of space. But from here, she can see the crescent edge of the world upon which the new Senate is housed, Nakadia.
Beautiful world, Nakadia,
she says. Tolwar Wartol grunts in reply.
Interesting fact about Nakadia,
she continues.
We liberated them from the Empire, and now they provide a great deal of the food for our troops. Something about the soil composition. It's just right to grow a variety of vital crops. It's a pristine environment, with a huge food yield for us. The vote to make it a Class A protected planet, well, that was an easy vote. You voted yes. We all did. We came together on that one.
History lessons are most effective when they are interesting, he says. And this does not pass the test, Chancellor.
I'm sorry to bore you. I thought it interesting.
The door to the sitting room opens. A narrow-shouldered Orishin stands there. Not a guard, but a pilot in gold and red with his helmet on, his visor up.
Senator, we have a problem.
Wartol looks to the pilot, then to the Chancellor, then back to the pilot. He is suspicious now. Good. He should be.
What is it?
Nakadia isn't allowing us to land, Senator.
And why would that be?
They're saying that preliminary scans indicate we are host to a restricted agricultural product, potentially invasive.
Wartol turns to her. He already suspects that she did something. And of course, he's right.
Chancellor, what did you do?
A statement, not a question. She fakes embarrassment as she pulls out a small, palm-sized fruit from within her robes.
Oh, my, my, my. Look at that. A little putta fruit, already half squished.
She pulls her thumb away from the inside of her index finger. The sap leaking from the punctured skin of the dark orange fruit is brown and sticky and nearly glues her thumb to her finger. Seeds glom onto the glop. What's important, however, is not the seeds or the glop, but rather the off-gassing fragrance, one that the ship's own environmental sensors would have picked up. And Nakadian off-world scanners do a passive reading of every ship's own sensors as they pass through. Which means those sensors would have picked up.
The pitta is restricted on Nakadia, isn't it? They'll have to do a full sweep of the ship and scan for other contaminants. Oh my, I fear this will cause us quite a delay. Don't you, Senator?